I do appreciate the Holy Spirit for the vastness of His wisdom and understanding, and we just barely tap into it, you know. Hello, Warren. So, if you want to take notes, the title of this is Maintaining. Maintaining. I am recording it. So let's go to the Lord and we just ask for His blessing on this word. And Lord, we thank You for Your faithfulness. And Lord, we ask for You to just embrace us with Your word and give us understanding, Lord, to continue to go forward in what You've called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Maintaining. And I don't have, well, maintaining what? And if you're taking notes, I'm going to look at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 things that we're to maintain. And one is our spirituality. Keeping the flesh in check so that the flesh doesn't override the spirit, which makes us unprofitable. Number two, maintaining our walk with the Lord. Meaning, does the word have priority? Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord and you don't do what I say?" Maintaining our walk with Him. Does the word have priority? Maintaining your testimony. Being unashamed of who we are in Him at all times. Doesn't matter where we are. To be able to do that, we have to understand that God has your back. He's your rear guard. He goes before you. He's beside you. He's over you. He's under you because He's our rock. So He's got you covered. So we don't never have to be ashamed. The Bible says that our life is hid in Christ, right? Mm-hmm. So if our lives are hid in Christ, and when they look at you, what are they seeing? Christ. They should be, if you're walking in the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Maintaining your calling is kingdom first. We are all called into the family of God. We are all called for a specific purpose in Him. And notice I said, in Him. Everything is in Him. Kingdom first. And maintaining holiness. What do we have we come to understand the word holiness to mean? Mm-hmm. Set apart. Being set apart. Spotless. So, there you go. Keeping oneself unspotted from the world, that separation. And it doesn't mean that we go and we hide in a cave and, you know, but what it means is that we're walking in a place with God to where what happens in this world doesn't affect us. Jesus said, in the world, there's going to be tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So we can be in this world, not of the world. We can be in, like Jeremiah 29 says, yeah, you're going to go captive, you know, but during this time of pandemic, we can prosper. We can go forward. We can be launched. Because you see, this curse or this virus or whatever you want to say, it's not affecting kingdom. Right?
Right.
It doesn't affect kingdom. It's the world. It's not kingdom. So if we're not of the world, then it won't have that effect on us. If you're on the, if you're of the world, I should say, it will have an effect on you. But if you're taking notes, write this down. So all of these are a position, okay? It's like being on first base or second base. It's a position, okay? You moved into a position. So write this down. In order to maintain, you must acquire your position. You can't maintain something you don't have. So you must acquire that place in the Spirit. You must come to that place where you're walking with the Lord and the Word has priority. You must come to that place where, Amber, I appreciate you share your testimony. You have a testimony and you're not afraid to share it. You acquire and you understand you're called and you're called out. And we must acquire, we must come into that place where we're unspotted from the world. Then you're ready to maintain it. So you have to have it to maintain it. All right? Think of a person, I'm thinking baseball. Think of a person who gets on first base, all right? And he wants to maintain that position. And so what does he do? In baseball, you lead off, you know, with the possibility you can steal, but the pitcher, he'll throw the ball to first. So you got to maintain your position. You got to get back so you don't get tagged out or you lose that position. So it's all about being positioned in Christ. Titus 3:8. All of these words that I'm going to share with you, all these scriptures, deal with the word maintain. Okay, if you want to get a unique understanding of what maintain means, look that up. If you look up Titus 3:8 and look in your Strong's to what the word maintain means. It means it to the, in our English language, in our English understanding, the word maintain is lower than what the actual Greek definition is. The word in the Greek means to be on top of, in control of. You're on it. Again, like I said, you have to be there. You have to have it to be able to maintain it. But look at these scriptures. Titus 3:8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These are good and profitable unto men. Now, and I forgot to write down what that, if somebody could help me out and look up that word maintain and give me the Strong's number, because all of these scriptures that I'm going to share have the same Strong's number, but a different word. Romans 12:8 says, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that gives, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, that word rule is maintain. The same word. He that ruleth with diligence. Or if you're going to rule, rule with diligence. He that shows mercy with cheerfulness. Rule would be, you know, to be an authority. You have, a pastor or a deacon or, you know, a steward where you have responsibility. That word ruleth, That is the same word as maintain. 1 Thessalonians 5:12 says, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you." And I believe that is our over you in the Lord. That is also that word maintain. "To esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves." 1 Timothy 3:4 says, "He that ruleth," there's that word rule again, "well in his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity." This is a qualification for somebody who desires to be like a deacon or an elder in the church. For if a man does not know how to maintain or rule his house, how should he should take care of the church of God? Anybody find that number, that Strong's number yet for maintain?
Yeah. For in Titus?
Titus, yeah.
Yep. G4:29:1 is to stand before, that is, in rank or prestige, or by implication, to practice, maintain, be over, or rule.
So all these scriptures that we're sharing are that same word. To be over. Again, you have to acquire the position to be able to maintain. 1 Timothy 5:17 says, "Let the elders that rule well be accounted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine."
2 Timothy 5:17.
And then verse 18 says, "For the scripture says, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treads out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward." Now, again, let the elders that rule well, there's that same word, maintain. Or I should say it's the same Strong's number. Titus 3:14 says, "And let ours also learn to maintain," there's that word again, "good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful." So, what does the enemy want to do? The enemy wants to, you know, think of King of the Hill. Okay, what's the object of King of the Hill? Whoever's on top, knock them off so you get on top. You acquire position. So the person who's on top, he's trying to maintain his position against those that want to knock him down. My first experience in the fifth grade playing King of the Hill, the teachers told us, "Don't play on there because you can get hurt. And if you fall off, you're going to be in trouble." Well, guess what? I got up at the top and I got knocked off and I got in trouble. I got a paddling. I got my butt whooped. I lost my position. You know, and I paid for it. But the enemy, you know, so many scriptures that talk about he wants to shipwreck your faith. He wants to steal the word out of you. He wants to deceive you. You know, he wants to ensnare you. So many things that the enemy, Ephesians chapter 6, you know, it says, "Put on the whole armor of God that you can stand against the wiles of the devil, the trickeries, the strategies of the enemy." Because if he can't push you one way, he's going to come up with a different strategy and try to push you another way. And if that doesn't work, he's going to try a different strategy. But the thing is he doesn't give up. But for us, as we overcome, and first and foremost, what do we stand upon? God's word. Resist the devil like Jesus did. It's written, "You have been overcome, Satan. And if you overcome, we have overcome. And you stand on it. So you've got to flee. And if you look up that word in James, I think it's James 4:7, is it? Resist the devil and he'll flee. When you look up that word flee, you'll be surprised what that means. Because what it means is he hightails it and he's looking for a way to get away from you.
To run away.
Yeah. He, you know, he means, what it means is that you've opposed him in a way that you put the fear of God in him and he's getting out of there. I'm not going to be around and get abused by this Christian. You know, and think about that. If we lay the word on the enemy, if we lay the word on his works, he's suffering abuse. He doesn't want it. So as we stand upon his word, behind the hedge, okay, it puts the fear of God in him. And that's the word. He'll flee. We don't have to worry about him, the enemy, being stronger. As long as we abide what we just said by the scriptures. It's not, you know, when we pray, when you pray, and if you're praying against the strategies of the enemy, or even if you know somebody and you're praying and they have a spirit problem, you know, don't be afraid of it. But when you pray, you remind the enemy of who you are by saying this: I stand before you not on my own strength, but I stand in the name of Jesus Christ based on what he's done for me. I am a child of God. The scripture says, as many as believed him, to them gave he power, exousia, to be sons of God. So I stand not in my own strength. I stand by the strength of my Father in heaven. So therefore, you are defeated. And your work is rendered null and void. So you have to leave. Because it's not you, but it's he. It's his word that is doing the speaking. I heard of a lady quite a few years ago who was growing in the Lord, and God was using this lady, and she stepped out of the hedge. She got a little bit prideful, and she said to the enemy, "Give me your best shot." Guess what happened to her?
She got
knocked out. Big time. Why? Because the devil lured her to step out of the hedge. We don't stand on our own. We always stand and maintain in the attitude of humility. Because everything that we have is from who? It's from our Father in heaven. He gave us the Spirit. He gave us the word. He said, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. He gave us his son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. He gave us eternal life. So many things that have been given to us, and we, not one of us earned it, any of it. By grace are you saved. Through faith. And that faith isn't of your own. It's a gift of God. God has given you the faith. So that no flesh can glory in his presence. It's all about him. You know, I'm coming back to the heart of worship. And it's all about you. It's all about you. Every day of our life, every breath that we take, it's about Him. Now, does that mean that we walk around, you know, religious and bless the Lord, I'm a holy person? No. We walk around with an attitude, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your love, Lord. We walk with an attitude of communication. Thank you, Lord, for being with me and for guiding me and for leading me. And we walk around with a knowing. And that helps us in our everyday life. Because, you know, John 10:10, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Now, that means that you may have it here, not in the hereafter. Here, more abundantly. In fact, Jesus even said in the Gospel of John that he says, those that come to me, I give them eternal life. It doesn't say that they're going to inherit eternal life. So right now, you have eternal life. What is it? It's the life in the Spirit. The eternal Spirit of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, the blessing of God. You're experiencing that eternal life here. It's just a beginning. In fact, we studied this one time that when you're born again, you're given a down payment of what's going to come. And the down payment is the Holy Spirit. And within the Holy Spirit is everything. That's why Jesus said, I've got to go. Because when he comes, he's going to bring everything that's of me. And he's going to bring it to you. And he's not just, and he said he'll teach you all things. And he'll bring to remembrance whatsoever I said. But he said everything that the Father has, he's given to me. So it's more than just the word. And so therefore I say that the Holy Spirit will give it to you. So what is God? What is in God's grasp? Unlimited whatever. I'm sure there's things that we haven't even seen yet.
Right?
Yeah. And I bet you there's probably things we'll never see because we can't exhaust the blessing of God. He's so vast. He's so, you know, we sing that song, oh, the depths of the riches and the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his ways. Unsearchable. God is unsearchable. The depth of God, I should say, because we can find him. Because he says, if you seek me, you'll find me. So, we're in a place in our walk where we need to maintain the deposit that has been given to you. We all have been touched by the Holy Spirit. We all have experienced the blessing of the Holy Spirit. We all have been moved by the Holy Spirit. So now it's time. Let's maintain and build upon that foundation. We build upon it through more understanding, the Word, by studying the Word. I've been praying, and the Lord put it in my heart that within the next couple weeks, we're going to go over that teaching. I don't think we ever have. I've given it to you. But we never have our challenging confrontation. It's been quite a while. It's been over a year because we started teaching that at GCF. It's been a year, right?
More than a year.
So you guys have had it more than a year. So find it. If you can't find it, let me know. I'll make some copies. It's going to take quite a few weeks to go through. But our challenging confrontation is going to help put into perspective how God sees our obligation and our responsibility to Him when we come into the Christian Christ community. What has God laid out? His guidelines, His rules. And we flow from the new, from the old to the New Testament, and it's very, very, very in depth. So, and the Lord a few weeks ago gave me a vision, and after we've gone through it, I'm going to work on doing a seminar here and opening it up to the community.
Today?
So, pardon?
Are we doing the seminar today?
No. This is going to be something that's beyond. This will probably be a couple months out, a few months out. So, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word that abides and that lives forever. And thank you, Lord, for your admonishment to us to continue to hold on to that which you've given to us, Lord, and to build upon it. So we thank you for your goodness and your love, and we do give you honor. Thank you for your word, in Jesus' name. Amen.